And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
All right, welcome into the latest That SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, joined by my cousin Shane Sheridan, a.k.a. Big Orange Vols on Twitter. Give that guy a follow if you like to laugh and you like Tennessee football. What's going on, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, good weekend so far, but it's not done yet because we've yet to record the latest That SEC podcast.
Let's do it, brother.
All right, so the biggest topic on my mind was just obviously with SEC Media Days in the book, basically the conclusion of the event is when the media's official balloting comes out. So I'll go over that quickly. Of course, the media once again voted Alabama to be the SEC champion, and by a wide margin. Alabama got 193 votes to win the conference, and Georgia got only 69. Auburn got 14. South Carolina got 4, and nobody else got more than 2. So, any surprises there by you?
Well, the fact that Tennessee got 1.
Let's get into that. Tennessee didn't get any votes to win the league, but they did get a vote to win the SEC East.
Oh, my bad.
As did Kentucky, which doesn't make any sense. So here's how the media had the East. Georgia got 241 votes to win the East. South Carolina, they came in at second. They got eight votes. Florida finishes third. They got 4 votes to win the East. Missouri finishes 4th in the voting, but they didn't get a single vote to win the SEC East. Kentucky, Tennessee, and then rounded out by Vanderbilt. And the strangest thing of all, this kind of shows you what a joke this poll is. Missouri did not get a single vote to win the East, but they got a vote to win the league. So I don't even know how the hell that would be possible.
Somebody got suspended or something.
And then in the West, so of course, Alabama, they were picked number 1. They got 263 votes. Auburn, they're voted 2nd. They got 19 votes to win the West. Mississippi State finishes 3rd. They got 2 votes to win the West. Texas A&M finishes 4th. LSU 5th. Ole Miss 6th. And Arkansas 7th. And A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, and Arkansas, none of them received a single vote to win the West. Any thoughts on those?
No, I think this is kind of what we've heard all summer. You know, nothing really stood out there. Everybody's kind of got the same. I mean, yours was off. Yours was different than these guys. But as far as, you know, national media, they've been spewing this out for 2 months now. So I'm not surprised by any of those, really.
You know, in my opinion, I think a lot of people, you know, they get the Athlon magazines, they get the Feel Steel magazines, and those are great magazines, so I'm not trying to put those people down, but I think a lot of people just kind of soak up that information and just kind of, there's a bit of groupthink, whereas I'm thinking about this as soon as January hits, and I don't, you know, I'm not a beat writer, so I'm not entrenched with one team. I follow all the teams, so my picks are always a little bit out there, but more often than not, I mean, I'll get these outliers right, just like I had Auburn winning the West last year when hardly anybody did. But, you know, in reality, the odd thing of SEC Media Days is obviously you have the beat writers from all the schools lined up down there. And I think the beat writer guys are the best in the world at knowing everything about their team. It's, you know, that's what their job is. But
yeah.
If you were to go to a Tennessee beat writer and ask him about Auburn's backup linebackers, I don't even think they could tell you who those people were.
No.
And the same, like if you went to a Texas A&M beat writer and asked him to break down Missouri's roster, they couldn't do it. So I think that's why you get a lot of the same. Now, I think like going into this, we knew Georgia was going to be the pick. We knew Alabama was going to be the pick. But I think that's why you see a lot of the same across the board. And, you know, the only thing that really struck out to me, I caught a ton of hell for having Florida fourth in the East, and they finished third in the voting. So, I mean, one spot off is not that big a deal. I guess more than anything, it was who I had third, and that was Kentucky, who finished fifth in the poll here.
So they had Florida third. Who did they have fourth?
Missouri.
Okay. So, yeah, it feels to me like it's a combination, like you said, of these, you know, the Steels, the Danny Sheridans, the Vegas predictions. It sounds like they've got a formula. They looked at those, and they're just kind of guessing right now. I didn't really see too much or too many people standing out and making bold statements that a team's not as good. You know, of course it is. Like I said, it's July. You know, it's a little early. We're all kind of guessing here. But if you listen to that and you listen to Vegas, I mean, that's kind of what we got here.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this stat, but the SEC Media Days has been doing this since 1992. That's obviously when the league went into two-division format. And the media has only picked the correct champion of the SEC 23% of the time. So I believe that's six times total. So that doesn't necessarily bode well for Alabama. The media picked Alabama last year, and of course Georgia won it. So if it's not Alabama, who do you think wins the SEC this year?
If it's not Alabama, I think I got to go with Georgia. I mean, that would be my, which I thought was kind of funny, you know, because they kind of, you know, when they came out, of course, we're going to get more into this about the All-SEC team. I felt Georgia got a little snub there.
What about if you had to pick a team from the West that wins the entire league? Who would it be outside of Alabama?
I'm going to go with Auburn. I know you're a big homer for Mississippi State, but I think that, you know, Gus has been there. And if I had to predict, you know, they got a strong defensive front. They've got a quarterback that can throw the football pretty well. So I think those are two of the biggest keys in the SEC and surviving some of these closer games. So if I had to predict somebody other than Alabama to win, I'm going to go with Auburn, because I think that they, in my opinion, are the clear-cut second.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't really argue with that, because I think it comes down to beating Alabama. And I believe Gus Malzahn is the only current SEC coach that's beaten Nick Saban, and he's actually done it twice. So I can't argue with that selection. Now, as you mentioned,
I thought it was kind of neat. Texas A&M's moving up a little bit. You know, I figured they would be maybe fifth behind LSU. So I think a lot of people are starting to buy into Jimbo Fisher.
Well, not only that, but they're obviously, I think a lot of people are still not sold on Ed Orgeron, your smiling boy there.
Hey, easy on my boy. Everybody wants a Hummer.
So along with the SEC, you know, the picks for the projections for where things will stand, you talked about the all SEC teams. Those were also listed. Now there's far too many to go into here and list them all out, but I did kind of I counted out how many players from each team made the list, and this is first team, second team, and third team combined. Alabama led the way with 14, Georgia had 12, Auburn had 9, Florida had 7, Missouri had 6, South Carolina and LSU, Mississippi State, Texas A&M all had 5, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Kentucky all had 3. And Tennessee had 1. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think people are just buying Alabama's name. You know, the fact that we all know that they're going to be good. They're probably going to compete not only for the SEC championship, but most likely in the playoffs. I think we're buying more into the brand than we are the actual players themselves. So I think that was a little skewed. Georgia, same thing. Georgia got no love on offense. I thought that was crazy. You know, I figured they'd have a few more players in the first team offense.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I think looking back, you know, by the time the year's through, I mean, I think Alabama will have a really good offense, but Nick Saban is a very conservative coach overall, so they may hold those guys back a little bit, whereas because of the losses that Georgia has on defense, I think their offense is going to have to sit the, you know, be the leaders for that program this year. And I think they're going to put up a lot of production on that side of the ball. Jake Fromm and DeAndre Swift, and they have a fantastic offensive line. So I think by the end of the year, we're going to see a lot of Georgia names on the first team SEC offense after the season.
I agree, especially with DeAndre Swift. You know, the fact that they go from two running backs to one, granted, they're going to have some other players bouncing in and out there, but I think DeAndre Swift, by the end of the season, is going to have phenomenal numbers. I think we'll look back and say, I can't believe he wasn't a first-teamer.
You know, and I don't know if you saw these comments coming out of SEC Media Days, but so Greg McElroy called one of their games last year, and, you know, they meet with the coaching staff prior to calling the games and just kind of get their thoughts on the team. And one of the coaches on the Georgia roster said the best player on the team, and this was last year as a true freshman, was DeAndre Swift, better than Nick Chubb, better than Sony Michel. But obviously, I think they felt obligated to give those guys the ball, and I mean, they did tremendous stuff with it, so you can't knock that. But if that's a legitimate statement, he may be the best player in the entire SEC this year.
Seriously, I mean, I've been watching a little bit of video on them. Another one stood out to me was Terry down there. I think I don't think he's getting a lot of credit. Of course, it's hard to put him ahead of, you know, AJ and Debo, but damn, he's a hell of a player. And Fromm's going to be throwing a lot down there.
Yeah, that's a good point, because obviously everyone was kind of, you know, they were so focused on Nick Chubb and Sony Michel last year. I think, and the offensive line was spectacular, but I think the group that really, outside of the offensive line, I'd say the group for Georgia that impressed me the most was those receivers. I mean, they weren't asked to do a ton, but every time they were asked to make a big play, they made it. And it you know, whether it be a big play or a sideline catch or tough catch in the end zone, they're kind of loaded at that position.
Yeah, well, don't count out Isaac. You know, he's down there catching some crazy catches as well. Probably one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yeah, and he was a 5-star. A lot, you know, there was high expectations anytime a 5-star comes in. He didn't do a ton last year. He did flash some big plays, but you know, I think any time a skill position player comes in, as long as he gives you something, it's a success. And the jump from the first year to the second year is usually the biggest from those skill position players. So he could be another monster. I just think Georgia's gonna be awesome on offense this year.
I do too. And I don't think the defense is gonna be as good as last year, which I think is just going to account for more offense.
Now, it's interesting that we're so high on Georgia, because the new Heisman frontrunner, not in the SEC, but in the nation. Let's talk about that. But first, we got to play this little clip that Shane worked up for us. It's pretty awesome. Very proud of this one. We're going to talk some Heisman in the SEC.
And now, I am proud to announce that this year's Heisman Trophy winner is... All I do
is win. Down right here for Fromm. Delivers under pressure. Downfield. Caught. Hardman. A foot race.
Tagovailoa going downfield. He's got a man open. Oh, my God. Touchdown, Alabama.
And Snell has the first down and more. Touchdown, Kentucky.
All right. How about that? I mean, that was pretty incredible.
How long
did that take you to work up?
That took me 3 days, but I finally got it. It didn't take that long, but I tell you what, going through some of them videos and finding some of these highlights and stuff, dude, I am so pumped for some football. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm watching one, and I found the clip I like, and next thing you know, I'm watching the whole rest of the quarter, you know, I remember that game. So I'm pumped up for some football.
Yeah, I could kind of tell, because I suggested you do that. I didn't expect you to do it immediately. I was hoping just by the time the regular season rolls around, and about an hour later, it hit my inbox. So I could tell you're jonesing for some football.
That is right, man. I've been YouTubing games like crazy. I watched a couple of good ones the other day. The Georgia-Oklahoma game. I was watching that. Golly, I mean, there were some great ball games last year.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get that again. So let's break into some of these Heisman odds. These are brand new. They just came out Friday afternoon, and this is via the online sportsbook Bovada. And like I teased there earlier, Tua is now the favorite to win the Heisman in the nation at 7-1. How incredible is that, considering the guy's never started a football game at the collegiate level?
Well, how incredible is it? And he's not even announced the starter, you know? I just think, I mean, that sounds to me kind of like a sucker bet, because as soon as you take it, Jalen's going to play, you know, the first 10 games. That's just a Nick Saban move. I mean, he's only lost two ball games for Nick Saban, so I think the Tua hype is getting a little out of hand. Granted, the national championship game was amazing, but I don't know. Don't count out Jalen just yet, because he may be out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, someone was asking me on Twitter, how this is even possible, and these odds, you know, they're kind of insignificant at this point, but they don't really, it doesn't really mean that's who's going to win the Heisman or who people think is going to win the Heisman. What it really means is Alabama money's coming in hard on Tua, and more importantly, I think the casual football fan who probably doesn't watch a ton but likes to gamble obviously watched the national championship game, saw what Tua did, so if they see his name down the list at, I think he was like sixth or seventh prior to this, but they're probably throwing money at that too. So that's why that's been elevated. But yeah, at 7-1, I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's a horrible bargain right now for anyone trying to make these Heisman bets.
I mean, also, you're putting your money on an Alabama quarterback. You know, when's the last one to win a Heisman? You know, Nick Saban.
I don't think they've never had a quarterback win the Heisman.
And what things they're going to do it this year? I mean, this is all going to be about running and pulling the starters early. That's what it is, and that's not, in my mind, that's not going to win you a Heisman. You know, that may win you a national championship, but that may not. You know, you're not going to be on that list because of the great game you put up. You know,
right? And if Jalen Hurts is on the team, I could definitely see a situation where he kind of comes in near the goal line a lot of the time, and he'll probably be used as a running threat, obviously, down there. So he's probably going to steal 10 to 12 touchdowns just on the ground. So
that could end up
hurting Tua's numbers too.
Well, did you hear what Tebow said the other day about him?
They're both of them on the field. I put Jalen as quarterback, as halfback, as wildcat back, as H-back. I move him around. You know, he can be so versatile. You can turn it into a zone read. He can turn it into a receiver. He can do so many different things. But I also want to give Jalen a lot of credit, because he hasn't pouted this offseason. He's gone to work. He's reached out to so many people and tried to seek advice. I've talked with him a lot. He's gone to the Manning Academy. He's continued to work on his craft. He hasn't kind of pouted at all. He's been dedicated. And I think that if he stays at Alabama, I think he's going to be a huge asset to that Alabama team. And I think there's a way to have these two players on the field at the same time.
Say what you want about Tim Tebow, but he obviously knows the thing about winning the Heisman, and I think he should have won it twice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, okay, it's kind of like the Tim Tebow, Chris Leak. Remember when they were in there, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. Leak gets all the way down there, and then here comes Tebow, and he looks like, you know, it just skewed all the stats because they really did have two great quarterbacks back there.
Okay, so the second best odds in the SEC right now to win the Heisman is Jake Fromm at 15-1. Any comments on that one?
Well, we talked about it. Fromm has got all the talent he needs to win a Heisman. I think, like, the way that they play their offense, I think he has a better shot of actually winning a Heisman than any of the Alabama quarterbacks. But I still think second is a little too high for him, because similar situation. They're going to be in a lot of games where he's not needed. And when you're not needed, you're not putting the numbers up, you know. Hell, Drew Locke had like 10,000 yards passing last year, you know. Fromm's going to be nowhere near that.
Well, I mean, they do tend to favor the quarterback on a winning team. So I could definitely see Fromm being there. And I think he's got a better – while, you know, the people are saying Swift may be the best player or what have you, most explosive player, but I don't see Georgia using him as a workhorse, so I actually like Fromm better than Swift.
When I think of Heisman, when I'm thinking about a Heisman candidate, I think about what would that team do if he wasn't there? And, you know, if you take somebody like Tua, if he's not there, Jalen's there. If Fromm's not there, what's his name, Fields? He's in,
yeah.
You know. I think
that's true.
I think that they'll survive without him. You know, a team like Missouri, let's just say hypothetically they make a run, they win the East, and if they didn't have Drew Locke, that's usually who wins these Heismans is a person that, if not there, the team would be totally different.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you mentioned Drew Locke; he's listed at 33-1. So, I mean, we've both kind of been on records thinking that Missouri is overrated, but based on your logic, and I would have to agree, I think that's a much, much solid, safer bet than Tua at this point.
The fact that the East is down, you know, if you were going to take a bet, you know, go with somebody like that where they actually could win the East, you know. Now, it's going to be a miracle, you know, to get past Georgia. But if they can make it to an SEC championship on the, you know, on the shoulders of Drew Locke, you know, there's still a chance he may win the Heisman, you know. So I would rather put my money on that.
So another Jarrett Stidham is also listed. He's at 25-1 right now. DeAndre Swift, we've mentioned him. He's listed at 30-1 right now. And probably the best bet on here, in my opinion, is Damian Harris, the Alabama running back. He's listed at 45-1. And like you noted, if Alabama players win the Heisman, it's always a running back. So,
right.
I don't see him, you know, having his carries taken away. He could have a huge year, and rounded out by Nick Fitzgerald at 50-1. There's good value there if Mississippi State has a good year. But I think if they lose two or three games, I don't think Fitzgerald is going to win it.
Yeah, exactly. And I like Damian Harris. I think if they're going to lean on anybody on that team, it's him. He's done it in the past. Alabama running backs, you know, have a large track record for winning the Heisman. So, yeah, I would give me that one. Or, you know, like we were talking earlier, give me the running back for Georgia, because I think he's going to get the ball a ton as well. And I think his touchdowns are going to be ridiculous by the end of the year.
Yeah, and at 30-1, DeAndre Swift, that's not a bad value at all. I also wanted to include this one real quick. Will Grier, obviously, he's playing Tennessee in the opener. He's listed as one of the favorites. He's at 15-1, the same as Jake Fromm. So is Tennessee going to ruin those hopes week one?
Well, I think a drug test may. That cheating bastard. Tennessee can't buy a bucket. We lose to him. He fails a drug test and then goes to West Virginia on our rebuilding year. I mean, I'll be glad when he's in the NFL.
All right, so you had an interesting idea. I thought this is your best one yet. So players from the SEC that were not listed on here that could realistically win the Heisman, if they're obviously their teams would have to have a breakout year, but I'll kick us off here. I really like this is probably an obvious name, but I like Benny Snell at Kentucky. I think if Kentucky has a really good year, somehow they win the East, or God forbid, win the entire SEC, I think it'll mean Benny Snell carried that team with a Heisman Trophy effort.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, they ran a lot of plays last year with him at Wildcat, and I still don't think they got a quarterback named up there. They may just save a position, throw another lineman in there, and just let him have the ball every down.
I mean, and just play a little smear the queer, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Just throw another 300 pounder in there and just let's just grind it out, because they're going to give the ball to that man. I mean, he played, and he can play sore. I think he was talking down there at Media Days. He played with a broken rib during one game, and the kid's tough. So, hypothetically, you know, if Kentucky makes a good run and has a chance, it's all because of Benny. I'll tell you right now.
So, who's a guy that you like for the Heisman that's not listed here from the SEC?
Oh, there's so many. We kind of talked a little bit about him already, but I was a big fan of Swift, but that one's kind of obvious now. So, shit. I'm going to say Trey Smith because Orlando Pace made it one year. So, the guy can probably block three people on defense. Let's just put Trey up there. And, my favorite that you haven't mentioned right now, also coming back from injuries, would have to be Debo, because they are going to make him the focus piece. He's going to be everywhere. He's going to be kind of like Cordarrelle Patterson was at Tennessee. Not only is he going to be running the ball, he'll be catching the ball, maybe even throw the ball. He made made a joke about Debo throwing some touchdown passes this year. I think he is going to be so involved. I mean, we've seen a couple of players like this in the past. I mean, we're going back, but like Champ Bailey, Torrey Holt, these players that are just freak athletes. And if South Carolina is to make any type of run in the East, it's definitely going to be on the shoulders of Debo. So that's my dark horse.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I could tell you did your research because that was going to be my second guy as well. And you know, if a receiver is going to win the Heisman, he has to do other things. And Debo is an outstanding kick returner. I believe he returned three kicks last year, and he scored a touchdown on every single one.
Absolutely.
He runs a lot of, you know, jet sweep type plays. So, I mean, he's going to get rushing yards, obviously receiving yards. And you mentioned, Jake Bentley kind of teased Samuel will kind of throw some passes. And for a receiver to get recognition, he's got to have highlight plays. So imagine Debo Samuel throwing a touchdown to beat Georgia. That's the type of play that could roller coaster into him having a legitimate Heisman campaign.
Oh, for sure. My next one, though, and I don't know if we talked about him much, but you talk about just a freak athlete, is A.J. Brown. Kind of similar situation with Debo. That man is going to have – I think he'll have 20 touches a game, you know, because Ole Miss doesn't have anything to lose. You know, they're going to leave it out in the field. I think the starters are going to be on the field a lot longer than most teams in the SEC, and it all filters through A.J. Brown. So probably the first receiver to be picked in the next draft here.
Yeah, that's a solid selection, but I actually think his quarterback, Jordan Tiamo, I would take him over A.J. Brown just for the simple fact that it's obviously, it's always quarterbacks that kind of get the most recognition. And when he was inserted into the lineup, I mean, the offense exploded, the team exploded. They nearly won four out of the final five when he got put in there. They lost a one-point game to Arkansas. Otherwise, they would have won four or five. And, you know, there's whispers out there that Shea Patterson, the main reason he left to go to Michigan was because he was not even going to win his job. Because that's how good Jordan Tiamo was. And I think he's really flying under the radar nationally. Now, maybe it is a little bit easier to kind of come in with, you know, low expectations. There's no game film. The schedule is kind of light for Ole Miss towards the end, but those, in my opinion, are just excuses for a guy that just came out and dominated. And if he does that again, I think it'll be quite the story for a team that's not even bowl eligible. And, you know, you basically got like a Tebow, another version of Tebow out there. I think that could quickly turn into a national storyline.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I can get behind that. Let me ask you this real quick. We've been talking a lot of offense. Is there anybody in the league that has a chance to win it on the defense side of the ball?
I mean, maybe. LSU's got a really good corner named Greedy Williams. I don't know that he returns kicks or anything, so it might be really hard for him to kind of get recognition unless – you know, you kind of have to make some splash plays. One guy that I really like, I talk about him all the time on Twitter because he's amazing, is Mississippi State defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
He's a defensive interior player, which nearly is unheard of to get Heisman recognition, but he's basically on the level of J.J. Watt with, like, longer arms. So if Mississippi State upsets a couple people and does win the West and ends up winning the SEC, if the recognition doesn't go to Nick Fitzgerald or one of the offensive players, I think you got to give that recognition to the monster in the middle, Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you there. I was just curious, you know, because every now and then it seems like one sneaks in, you know, SEC, and, you know, they never win, but, you know, they definitely – we always have one or two there every other year, you know.
Yeah, and the one guy he another guy kind of Jeffrey Simmons kind of somewhat reminds me of is old Ndamukong Suh, who I think he finished second in the Heisman, and he basically carried Nebraska to they lost in the Big 12 championship, but it was basically him carrying the entire team and just mauling people. So that's an outside one for sure.
Them big boys, they don't get enough love, I'm telling you.
Now, how about this? I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. Now, you know, obviously, I think it's ridiculous to talk about this guy in terms of being a Heisman contender at this point, but if he shows up and balls out and LSU has a big year, I think it's going to be on the arm of their Ohio State graduate transfer quarterback, Joe Burrow. What are your thoughts on that selection?
I think that's a bold take. I think it's a bold take indeed, my friend. Now didn't he come from Ohio State? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and I mean, he didn't really play much up there, just kind of garbage time, and so we don't really know much what he's got. He looked outstanding in a couple Ohio State spring games, and obviously LSU's been missing a quarterback for a long time, and I think that's a big reason why everyone's doubting them, is because they don't have an answer there yet again. But they've got a lot of pieces to be a good team, and if he were to somehow come in and just be amazing, I think that could be a really, really sneaky good team.
It really could. It really could. I will tell you, with an LSU quarterback, it's highly doubtful that they're going to be competing for a Heisman, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they don't have much down there, you know. I mean, of course, granted, we don't even know if he's going to be starting week one. So I'd like to see the odds on that guy.
Now, how about I don't know how much you've seen this guy play, but I think if Texas A&M has a big year, I think it's going to be on his shoulders. The running back, Travion Williams, and he does a little bit of everything. Obviously runs the ball. He's an excellent receiver. I believe he does return kicks, and ever since Jimbo Fisher's come on board there, it seems like Travion's one of his favorite players. I know he had a huge game against Tennessee his true freshman year, 2016. Any thoughts on Travion Williams and his Heisman potential at Texas A&M?
Well, I think he's about, you know, he's going to be a key piece in their offense. You know, with Jimbo back there, you know, I think he kind of – doesn't he have a tendency to just to keep one running back going? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think back just because he's known as being such a quarterback guy, but over the years, Florida State has had a number of great running backs, not only in the collegiate level, but to go on to NFL success. So, he's got a strong track record of producing running backs too.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It was that Dalvin Cooks was his, you know, I remember watching a couple of games and, you know, his running backs is what took over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he does that, makes it a one-man show and gets in some great positions, you know, his stats will be there. You know, he does like to get them running backs involved in the passing game, which always helps if, you know, if he can do that, you know, because that's kind of what the league is going to. It's not only do we want a running back that can run between the tackles, but we need one that can catch out of the backfield. And
And if he can do that with Jimbo, I can see that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Now, I'm going to give you another option. This will probably piss you off pretty good, but if Florida has a really good year, I don't think it's going to be on the back of any of their quarterbacks, based on what we've seen. I think it's going to be kind of like a ground and pound running back that just maybe scores like 30 touchdowns and has a great year. But Jordan Scarlett, he's a really good player who he missed the entire last season thanks to his use of illegal credit cards. But he's got some fresh legs, so maybe that's an option there for Florida.
And some fresh clothes. I'll tell you what, I looked at him, and actually I was looking at Florida's roster. And as far as offense, that is the only name that stood out, you know. Now, could Franks come out, you know, maybe. You know, Dan is a miracle worker. Maybe he gets Felipe competitive, and who knows. That may be a dark horse, but – when I look at this offense, the only name that stood out to me was Jordan, and I'm with you. If he can stay healthy, if he can, you know, stay out of trouble, he's going to be their offense. So definitely could see him, you know, making a run for it.
So you got any other players on any of the other teams? I couldn't think of one on Tennessee that could. I mean, maybe just because they were so poor on offense last year, but. No one really came to my mind. Any volunteers on your list?
Well, the only name that really stood out to me is Ty Chandler, just because he's shown that he can do it. He can have big games and big moments. Not to mention, mm-hmm. he also – I don't know if they plan on having him as a kick returner, but if he can get another score – because I think he had one touchdown last year kick returning. You know, if he can have a couple of those this year on top of – you know, over 1,000 yards rushing. Yeah, I think Ty could definitely give a run for the money. But, I'm curious about the running back situation because, for once, we have other options, you know. It was John Kelly's year last year, and that was it. And now we've kind of got a few. So I don't know how he's going to do his offense. I don't know if he's going to lean on one guy or if he's going to, spread it out. You know, make a committee out of it. But if Ty does take away and you know, he's proved that he can have that breakout speed, that game-changing scores and stuff like that. So I think if anybody's going to do it from the University of Tennessee, I would have to lean toward Ty Chandler.
Yeah, and that's not a bad pick at all because, you know, he kind of reminds me of John Kelly in a lot of ways. Obviously, before John Kelly's big breakout season last year, he was very similar to Ty Chandler, where, you know, he only got in, you know, select games and only got a handful of carries, but he made the most of those opportunities and kind of flashed his big play potential, and then he just came out like gangbusters, and that's kind of the same thing with Ty Chandler. He obviously got to play a lot in that Kentucky game last year because John Kelly was suspended, but outside of that, you know, he didn't get a ton of carries, but when he did, he looked like a legit home run threat.
Yeah, for sure.
If he comes out and does similar to John Kelly, which based on what we've seen, I wouldn't rule out at all, he could get some legitimate looks if Tennessee has a big rebound season.
Yeah, definitely. That's my guy right now.
All right, well, I think that'll do us for this episode. Thanks for joining me, Shane, as always, and thanks for everyone out there listening. Feel free to give us a subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, pretty much every outlet that has podcasts now. Give us a 5-star heart. And we appreciate we appreciate everyone, all of our fans out there.
Absolutely. Go Vols.